Welcome to Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Amanda Pierce. And today's episode is brought to you by Sugar Hill Church, serving the North Gwinnett community from their established campus in Sugar Hill and their new campus in Peachtree Corners. They lead with service, outreach, and a genuine commitment to help people thrive. Go pay Pastor Chuck Allen a visit, or check them out at sugarhillchurch.com to learn more, get connected, and experience the difference. All right, and welcome to Nonprofit Nation, folks. I am your host, Amanda Pierce, joining you from Thrive in Suwanee, Georgia here today. And my friend Juan Terrazas is in studio. He is representing Path United, and that is a local organization focused on uplifting the youth in our community. Most children living in mobile home park communities in the United States are not growing up to become flourishing adults. This is the result of many factors, including lack of access to positive adult relationships and the lack of basic academic, social, and emotional skills needed to succeed in school and life. As a result, they're stuck in the status quo of surviving rather than thriving. So what's the solution? A better way forward is centered on what Path United calls the five ingredients to flourishing. They believe that God desires for all people to thrive. So what does that look like? It looks like a combination of prayer, attitude, teamwork, and humility. Your relationship with God is the most important. Secondly, having multiple positive adult relationships, followed by strong reading skills, social and emotional health, and a vision for their future. Every child should be able to see beyond their current circumstances, and exposure to new ideas, people, and places help expand their view of who they could become. If you'd like to get involved or learn more, please visit pathunited.org. Now let's begin.
Hey, Amanda, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Well, you and I were chatting before the show about your enthusiasm and your passion for the nonprofit community. But for those who are unfamiliar with Path United, give us the 30,000-foot view.
Yeah. So Path United is a nonprofit where we come in and we set up community centers in mobile home parks, work with the youth there from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, do after-school programs with them. We're in 7 locations right now in Gwinnett, Haw, Barrow, Walton County, and we're also in Williamson County in Tennessee. And between those locations, we serve over 550 students, impacting them, helping them. The whole vision, the mission of the organization is to help them become a flourishing adult. So whether that takes whatever it takes to get them there, that's what we're willing to do.
I like how you said whatever it takes, because it does take a village, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You come alongside students that are already in school. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were mentioning 5 pillars, if you will, about the organization. And I think you and I are both big believers. So the first of those pillars is God, of course. Mm-hmm. Why don't you share the others with our listeners?
Yeah. So I'll kind of give you a little background of how we came to those pillars. When we first started Path, when Path first started, it was focused heavily on doing homework help, which was great, and the students needed that help. But over time, we realized that they needed more than just homework help. And around COVID time, everybody remembers COVID, right? We just started shifting and started thinking deeper of what our students needed. And a group of us got together, just talked, and came up with the 5 pillars of what it means to become a flourishing adult. So as you mentioned, the first one is having a relationship with God, because every child needs to know that they're loved, that God loves them, God loves others. And the second one is having multiple relationships with positive adults, because that makes a big difference. Having a positive adult in their life, they have someone to lean on and connect with. And then also helping them build the reading skills. That's fundamental for any academic success. And then also developing social emotional health. And then the 5th one is developing a vision for the future, because each student needs to see beyond their circumstances. They need to see that they can be more than what's around them. So between those 5 pillars, those are the things that help the students develop into a flourishing adult.
I like that word that you mentioned, flourishing, because it's like almost, you know, referencing a flower. You know, you want to water the seed, you want to nurture the soil, you want to make sure it's healthy and it's got all the nutrients so that it can grow and bloom and blossom into something that's thriving and continues to remain strong. I'd like to rewind if we could, because a lot of our audience is unfamiliar with your great work. I know you guys are here in my community, but let's talk to people who aren't in the Gwinnett and surrounding areas. You specifically work with children who are in difficult living situations.
In mobile home communities.
In mobile home communities. So kind of explain the background behind that template and how you guys go in and serve those living in those communities.
Yeah, so the way that it all started was because of our founders, Jim and Melinda Hollingsworth. They really had no intention of building a nonprofit. When they first started, they signed up for a Christmas sponsorship through their church. And when they went to go drop off the Christmas gifts, they pulled up into this neighborhood. It was a mobile home community, and they didn't realize the mobile home was pretty near their home. It's kind of hidden in plain sight. So most of these communities, you just drive by, you're not paying much attention to them. So they ended up going in there, and a couple of the students just came up to them and said, hey, can you help us with homework? Because our parents don't know English and we need help. And so little by little, they just started coming back and said, well, you know, we can do it. Because Melinda was a second grade teacher and Jim was a pastor at that time. And they just kept going back and helping the kids. And it just started growing little by little. And then eventually there was a little girl who came up to them and said, hey, when are you leaving? And Melinda was like, what do you mean? When are we leaving? We're leaving maybe after we finish helping you guys. But no, the girl was asking them more than just the time. She was asking them about their purpose for being there, because she said, most of the time people come into our neighborhood, they come for a short while and they leave and we never see them again. And it was kind of like a stab to the heart type of question. It's like, when are you leaving? And so Jim and Melinda really had to sit down and think about it. Are we here for the long haul, or are we going to just bail out on the kids? Mm. And next thing you know, there was a shooting that happened in the neighborhood, and it opened up a trailer, and Jim got a call, and he ended up getting the trailer. They fixed it because of all the shooting that happened. There was blood all over the trailer. Mm. So it was pretty a horrific scene in there. But just like, you know how the Bible talks about that, God makes all things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So what was a pretty terrible, horrific scene at that moment, they turned it around into something beautiful, because we still have that trailer in our first community center in Loganville. Mm. And that's where our elementary kids meet, in that location. So for the Loganville site, we have two trailers. We have one for the elementary site and one for the middle and high school students. And that's essentially how Pathy came to be. I mean, that's just a snapshot of how I'm sharing the story. But mobile home communities are the place for us to be, and that's just our niche. People have asked us to go into apartments and other places, but it's just like our focus has been mobile home communities for the youth, for the children.
Tell me who you see and who you work with every day in these beautiful communities.
Yeah. So as you're saying, when people think about mobile home communities, they might think of people who are, granted, they are low income, but they automatically attribute that to low and dirty, and that's not who we serve. When we serve the kids, we serve the families, we serve parents who are hardworking, parents who are in it with their children, who are doing the best that they can. They're just like you and me. Mm-hmm. They want the best for their children. They're trying to do the best. And once you get to know who those families are, you see that that's an actual human behind the person. They're not just a statistic, but they are a valuable human being. So I know the parents. I've gained the parents' trust. I take the youth to church on Wednesdays, the middle school, high school students. I'm there through the week doing after school programs. And I mean, once you meet the kids, you just grow a heart for them, because mm-hmm. you realize that they're human. They're mm-hmm. valuable.
I wrote, not just to face the family, and they're all children of God. Mm-hmm. So you yourself are uniquely equipped to work in this setting, within this organization, and in this community. Tell me about yourself personally. You are Hispanic, mm-hmm. and you are from Mexico, you were mentioning.
Yeah.
So you are able not only to teach and serve in English, but also bilingually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me about your personal history.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't necessarily grow up in a mobile home community, but as we mentioned, the five keys, I had people that came into my life that shared those things with me just along my journey. I come from an immigrant background, born in Mexico. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. My dad actually got deported when I was 14, and my mom had to go back to Mexico, and I lived without my parents at that time. My mom asked me if I wanted to go back to Mexico at 14 years old, and I remember just saying, no, because if I go back, then we're not going to have anything over there, and we have our friends, and we have school here. So I decided to stay because I wanted to get educated. My younger sister was 12 at that time, so it was both of us that decided to stay. A year later, I got kicked out by my cousin's boyfriend, and I'm walking down this back alleyway, and I'm thinking to myself, God, I'm 15 years old. I just got kicked out. Where am I supposed to go? And from that moment, I just started house hopping, going from place to place, trying to figure out where my next meal is going to come from, trying to figure out where I'm going to lay my head or who would take me in. And that's just the kind of life that I lived as a teenager. And if you were to ask me what my future would look like, I would have probably told you not so bright, right? Because of what I was going through at that time. But along my path, I was involved with a couple of different ministries, Youth with the Mission and Dallas Metro. So between those two, taught me about faith, taught me about my relationship with God. I was exposed to positive adults. I grew in my faith, and I saw a vision for myself, and I started realizing that there's more to life than what I see, that I have hope. Even though at times I felt discouraged and I felt abandoned, I felt like I wanted to give up, there's something in me kept pushing me and telling me, hey, you have something more in you, so just keep going. So eventually, long story short, at 18 years old, I gave my life over to God, and that's what really made the transformation. I started hanging around older men that started investing in me, showing me a different path, and eventually started getting involved with the youth group in my church and then the college ministry. And I just had a exponential growth in my life in my late teens, early 20s. And it was just, it made a big difference in being in those circles, being around people that really cared for me. And now fast forward in my 20s, whatever I did, I was just serving with youth, whether it was at a youth group or anywhere that youth were involved. I was there because I wanted to impact the young people, because people impacted me. Yeah. Now, when I came over here to Georgia from Dallas, my wife and I got married in 2015, and I still wanted to work with youth. I just didn't know when or where. I didn't know what I was going to do. But eventually, a friend of mine invited me to D.C. around 2017. And then Jim, who I met in D.C. as well through a mutual friend, he just asked me, so what are you doing? And I said, well, I just want to work with youth. I have this passion, this heart. And he's like, well, that's exactly what we do, working with children in mobile home communities. So Jim and I met for the first time at the Capitol when I was sharing my story in Senator Johnny Isaacson's office.
Wow.
And from that moment on, Jim and I kicked it off. We started connecting, came back to Georgia a few months later, February 2018. That's when I started working with PATH. And so I've been here ever since. And working with the youth, I realized that all the things that I've been through in my life, of all the struggle of trying to get by, seeing the people that invested in me, I've been able to put all of that to use into the youth that I work with now, to empower them, to encourage them, to show them that there's a better life forward, that they don't have to give in to their circumstances, and help them, push them to, I would just say, exude their potential. Because sometimes someone just needs a little push, and they just need a little more encouragement. And some more than others. Mm. But that's why we're there, is to show them that, hey, you're not alone. You have somebody that's fighting alongside you, and you can do it.
You're so modest. Hold on one second. Did I hear you correctly in saying that you met Jim in D.C.? You guys didn't even meet in Georgia?
No, we didn't meet in Georgia.
Wow.
So we didn't know each other.
Yeah. Totally a God thing.
Yeah.
Now, you just glazed over that you were speaking in Johnny Isaacson's office. Tell me how you got there. What were you speaking about?
So our friend Alan Hoskins invited us to this conference that was going on in D.C. I don't know if they still have it now, but it was a yearly thing where there was a conference and you signed up to go speak, to share in some of our elective officials' office and just advocate for immigrants. So we were doing that. And whenever we went to Johnny Axelson's office, I met Jim there, and yeah, we just kicked it off from right there. We've been connected ever since.
Did your parents come back to the United States?
So unfortunately, my mom passed away last year. But no, they weren't able to come back. It's a lot of immigration, difficult things that happened. My dad is still over there. So part of my story also was that I couldn't go to Mexico because of my situation, my immigration status at that time. I was undocumented. That's just how I grew up. Mm-hmm. I eventually got my green card, mm-hmm. my residency, and I was able to travel back for the first time after almost 11 years to see my parents.
Oh, and your sister too?
And my sister as well. So we both went at the same time. We saw our parents. So I got a video that I have in one of my flash drives hidden away. Because it's an emotional thing to not be able to see your parents for a long time. Mm. And when you see after so long, I guess I'm an adult, but sometimes I feel like I'm a big kid. Even if you're an adult, you sometimes feel like, man, you know, I still want my parents.
Always. There's always that place in your heart.
Yeah.
Now you yourself are a father of four. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Rewind, you said that you and your wife met in Dallas and came to Georgia?
Not Dallas, but it was Tyler, Texas. So when I was living in Dallas around 19 years old, I went to move in with this ministry called Youth with the Mission, also known as YWAM. And living with them, I went to they had a school in East Texas, in Tyler, Texas. And through that, it was a 5-month Bible program, 2 months of just teaching and training. And then the last few months were to go and put everything into practice, do outreach, and just serve and help people. So I did that around 2011. And then a year later, my best friend came back from Cali to go do the school as well. And that's where I met my wife. So I was, you know, visiting my friend. Uh-huh. But really, I was there because I wanted to talk to wife. Yeah, to see her.
That's such a sweet love story. So you guys were brought together through service. You guys share a passion for service and community outreach as well. That's so beautiful. And then you guys got married and you moved to Georgia?
Well, I moved to Georgia. Her parents, when I told her parents that I was interested in my wife at that time.
Wait a second. You actually formally courted her like they do in storybooks?
I guess you could say
that. Yeah. That's so cute.
So we just connected. We talked and I told her I was interested in her. And before I dated her, I said, I want to talk to your parents first. And so when I talked to her parents sat down with me in their living room and they said, hey, we've been praying for you for a long time. And I was like, I felt accepted right away. So it was like one of the most awesome things at that moment. So her parents took me in. I moved to their basement apartment when I moved to Georgia. This was December 2014. So I was there until we got married in June 2015.
That's so beautiful. Okay, you said a few things, and I told you before the show my ADHD brain's going to take us all over the place. But first of all, congratulations. Congratulations, because you are here right now with a beautiful and thriving family, and you are making an impact, and you yourself had to navigate some uncharted waters as a youngster. But as you mentioned, and I think that you know, the two most powerful things that we have access to here in the world are?
God.
Yes, the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ and the power of our testimony. So you hit the nail on the head. While you didn't grow up in a mobile home community, you are uniquely equipped because you had to kind of walk a path and find resources for yourself, all the while educating yourself and staying close to God through these ministry programs and through these outreach efforts. So I think that your testimony is a beautiful one too, and it led you exactly where you're supposed to be making an impact. How cool is that you met Jim in DC?
Yeah.
Even more foretelling that you are supposed to be here. So let's fast forward and bring us here to Path United. You're with the organization for going on 8 years now, and you've been doing a lot of moving and shaking, and you've actually kind of helped grow the program. Tell me three of the most important things that you have seen in the 8 years time that you've been with Path United.
Yeah, I would say the first thing is the growth of the youth that I'm working with, because when you first start off, you see them at a certain age, and now several years later, you see them grow and become young men and young women. And that's one of the most awesome things, is to see them develop and become more of who God created them to be. And whenever they come to you and they say, hey, I remember when you taught me this, I remember when you said this, and I still think about that. or whenever they get opportunities to do something that they otherwise would never be able to do if they were not involved with PATH. All that, that's one of the greatest things to be able to see. And then also, I will say the second thing is seeing the partnerships that we have between businesses and churches that help grow the program, that connect our students to different opportunities, that help build new sites. And as I was mentioning, even before we came on live, Bethlehem Church did a pretty great thing in helping develop our Barrow County location. They came and said, hey, we know you guys are doing great work and we want to partner with you. We'll help invest in the trailer, fix it up, and send the volunteers. And that site is thriving pretty well. So those partnerships are great. Sugar Hill Church, there's big partners of us as well, too. They invest a lot in us. Jim has gone over there and connected with the church several times. He gets to share. So even giving gift cards, they've been able to help out with things like that. So those partnerships are pretty great. But then also being able to, I would say the third thing is the staff. The staff, you know me because you see me, right?
Yes.
I'm out there, I'm connecting, networking, but it's not just me. There's a big group behind us, I would say about 20 strong, who are working, whether operations, doing the data stuff, or who have hands on site. Who are the hands and feet of Jesus in the communities right there. They're the ones who are doing the work, building the youth, building the programs, helping them become the flourishing adults that they need to. And we're on Slack, so we're able to connect with each other. And so every now and then we'll share stories of, hey, this happened with this student, and this was a pretty great thing. Or some students who kind of fell off several years ago came back, and they recognized, hey, I'm on the wrong path, and I need to get myself right. Mm-hmm. And I remember what PATH did for me in my life. So I would say between those three things are pretty impactful.
Mm. You mentioned the church partners, and big shout out to those who are helping you. You mentioned being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I know that giving these communities access, not only to services, but, you know, directly to pastors or prayer, even, and I'm sure you and your team provide a lot of prayer support, is very important. So for those who are listening, who are interested in supporting your initiative in some way, whether they be another church organization or a corporate entity, mm-hmm. what is the best way that they can kind of help you continue to do the great work you guys are doing?
Yeah, if anybody wants to come and partner alongside us, we always ask people if they want to come and volunteer in person and connect with the youth firsthand. That's always one of the most impactful things, because the youth need to see people that they can look up to, that they can see themselves as, and that makes a big difference for the young people, because they might see somebody and think, hey, that person's cool and I want to be like that person.
Yeah.
Sometimes they've never met an engineer and they don't know what an engineer career might look like, and that helps the youth see themselves, who they might want to be. And also having people who want to partner with us through supplying program supplies, who want to partner with giving gift cards, because gift cards make a big difference. Sometimes we connect with the students outside of programs, take them out to have a meal, a small group, and they open up more. And the magic thing is giving them food.
Hey, Chick-fil-A does wonders.
Yeah.
So the gift cards actually go to the students so they can use them when you guys go out on and do activities.
We used it to go take them out. Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
So we used it. So like Perimeter Church did Sugar Hill Church, yeah. Perimeter Church. We got gift cards from them and around this Christmas time.
So for any local eatery, it would be good?
Anything local.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned actual like time serving alongside. Mm-hmm. So anybody that is in a career field that they might like to speak to your students or anything like that, help me understand, because I haven't had a chance to visit one of your headquarters and I'd love to. You mentioned that you have mobile homes within the communities mm-hmm. that are kind of like a center point for education and activity. Tell me what that looks like.
Yeah. So each month we have a theme that we go by. This past couple of weeks, we talked about goal setting. Next month, we're going to be talking about teamwork. In the past, we've talked about developing communication. We did Passion and Spark, which was my favorite one.
Yeah.
Like, this Passion and Spark one was just awesome, because we got to expose the kids to different things that they realize I like this, I don't like that. Some kids were like, I don't like to stand up in front of people and talk. But other kids were like, I like standing up and talking in front of people. Or we did some dancing activities where they got to dance. And some kids were just easily diving in. Other kids were kind of a little more shy. Yeah. So we told the kids that some things that you like, others may not like. But that's okay because we're all created different, unique. God has different gifts for each and every one of us. And whatever you're gifted in, you can grow in that. So each theme is what we develop our activities program around so that the kids can be able to thrive in those. Mm.
How often do you guys meet?
Depending on sites, for me in the Lawrenceville location, that's the one that I manage. I meet with the elementary on Mondays. I just switch my days from Tuesdays to Mondays. So I'm still trying to get it in my mind. But we meet on Mondays. The middle schoolers, I meet on Wednesdays. And the high schoolers, depending if they're busy or not, they go with me to church on Wednesdays as well, too.
Nice.
Or I meet with them on Thursdays. But we're being intentional. We have staff that go and walk around the neighborhood, visit with the parents, visit the kids. So it's a lot of intentionality of connecting not only with the students, but also the parents, because the parents need to know who we are. So that if case there's something that they need or something we can help them with, then we're there as well.
That was going to be my next question. How do you kind of breach the relationship between yourself and the parents? Obviously, you know, you're working with kids, so there's a degree of discretion, and also the parents want to know who their children are hanging out with.
Yeah.
So you have that established relationship, and I'm sure you guys provide access to information or resources for the parents should they need. Talk to me about, you know, mental health is so important, and some of these students might be experiencing different challenges, whether that be within their family or their home, or, you know, you mentioned a couple other like living type challenges. How are you, if at all, helping with the mental health of these youngsters?
First, we start off with the program inside, is having them come over to our programs, developing that relationship, because without the relationship, it's hard to get into their lives to find out what's going on and who they are. That's the first step. But then we also have partners on the outside. If somebody needs extra help, then we're able to connect them with outside resources. That's why the partnerships are pretty
important.
Very without cool. those partnerships, the students, because we're limited in what we can do as an organization, but having those partnerships really help out a lot. But yeah, we want to invest in the students as much as possible to see them grow up. And I'll keep going back to that word flourishing. And like you said, it's like a flower. So what you invest in now, you will see it bloom later on.
Yes. Yeah. My Diet Coke just hit my brain and went zing.
Yeah.
If one person was listening, an individual like myself, that's a solopreneur, I don't have a big company, I don't have a team. What's the best way that one single individual can help?
Yeah, and that goes back to what I was sharing just a while ago. If somebody wants to come and volunteer in person, if they want to donate snacks, if they want to donate snacks take a big part of our budget. So if anyone ever wants to donate, that frees us up so that we can do other things with the students, donate program supplies as well. And if they even want to become a financial partner monthly, that makes a big difference. Even if it was just $25 a month, we have this thing that we started last year based on, and this is another story to get into another time, but one of our first monthly donors, he couldn't come and volunteer physically in person because of some bodily illness. So he said, you know what, at least I can donate monthly. And now we call it the Upchurch Society. So now people can come and donate and be a part of that. And being a part of that society, you just get some extra perks on the background, some news and background information or so.
Yes. You know what? Being a radio girl, one of my favorite networks is NPR. And I remember when I was like 10, my dad he was a monthly giver to NPR because it's National Public Radio and it was listener funded. And he would just give like $10 a month. And when I was young, I didn't understand what that was. But now working in the nonprofit community, somebody that is able to, even if 10 bucks, if you give reoccurring every month, it makes such a difference, even that small give.
Yeah.
I love the snacks and I love the gift card idea because those are things that one person can do. Would you like to say anything to our Spanish audience?
los quiero animar a que sigan adelante, que no paren. Ya sé que a veces se hace un poco difícil la Jordana, pero con Dios todo es posible.
Juan, thank you for entertaining my banter. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. As I mentioned, I've seen you primarily online, and spending time with you here today in this setting was really a joy.
Take it easy. Peace out.
Path United operates community centers inside of mobile home parks where children experience the love of Christ through positive relationships and intentional weekly programming. Through partnerships with park owners, schools, businesses, churches, parents, and other nonprofits, they're able to offer on-site programs that help kids become flourishing adults. Every child needs to be able to see beyond their current circumstances. Exposure to new ideas, people, and places expands their view of who they could become. To learn more or get involved, visit pathunited.org. This series would not be possible without the support of our church partners at Sugar Hill Church. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Nonprofit Nation. I am your host, Amanda Pierce, and you can connect with me at amandapierce.com. Today's episode is powered by Sugar Hill Church, serving our region from Sugar Hill and their new Peachtree Corners location. Visit sugarhillchurch.com and experience the difference.